And here we are on Law and Gospel on this, first day of August in our year of our Lord 2016. I'm Tom Baker, and as is our custom, we will be going over the lessons for this coming Sunday. But at this point, as I walked into the studio, we had a group who are touring the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I have asked the pastor who is heading up the group, Jörg Ackermann. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Thanks.
Okay. I like the umlaut.
Yeah. that's a tough one.
My name was, I'm Tom Baker, but we came from Yugoslavia, and it was Backer, B-A-umlaut, C-K-E-R.
Yeah.
And it's pronounced Becker, of course. So one uncle had Becker, another had Backer, my dad had Baker. But you're from Germany, been here how long?
We've been here almost 3 weeks, yeah. We came into the States to Cincinnati, then went to the National Youth Gathering of the Missouri Synod.
Excellent.
And toured around a little bit afterwards.
And you're taking a tour here, and when are you going back?
We're going to go back to Germany, actually, tomorrow. We're going to fly out Cincinnati tomorrow, so we head for Cincinnati this afternoon.
And you're a member of which church in Germany?
I'm a member of the SELK, the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church, the sister church of the Missouri Synod in Germany.
We went partner churches with six other denominations at the convention recently.
Yeah.
And so we were very happy to do that. And how is that church doing?
Pretty good. We have a lot of challenges at the moment with all the refugees that came into Germany, Muslim refugees, and in almost every of the churches, there are at least a few of these refugees coming in. Just a month ago, I had my first adult baptism of a converted Muslim. That was really fascinating.
Yes. Are any in adult instruction or where they go through a class?
Yeah. We provide baptismal classes right now in our churches, yeah.
So how big is that denomination? How many people about?
We have in Germany about 35,000 members.
Excellent. Yes, because it's really difficult, because Germany is somewhat of a secular society like the United States is.
It true is, yes.
So we really thank you for coming in. Do you have anything you'd like to say to, my listeners number at least up to 8 people listening.
Wow, that's quite something.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank all who helped us, who supported us in our trip, and wish God's blessings to all of you.
Yes, I sure appreciate it. Thank you very much. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
And that was Pastor Jörg Ackermann. And he's here with a number of young people. They're going around doing a tour of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center. And I do want to mention, you too can have a tour of the International Center here at 1333 South Kirkwood, right at Highway 44 and Kirkwood in St. Louis, Missouri. Don't hesitate to do that. And I do know I have some listeners overseas. If you're ever planning to coming to the St. Louis area, we certainly would invite you here. This coming Sunday is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, with readings from Genesis 15, Hebrews 11, and Luke 12. Normally I take one, but today I'm going to try and touch some high points of each one. The first one, of course, Genesis 15, where Abraham indicates that his reward will be great, says God. And he says, how can that happen? I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Now, that was not his child. It was probably the child or his top servant. And Abraham says to God, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir, if you would. And here's what God says to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven, number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. Now, what did God mean? That had Abraham able to number the stars, let's say there were 2.3 billion, that's exactly how many Christians there would be? No. When he says, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them, so shall your offspring be. There are going to be so many who cling to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior that you won't be able to number them. Now, verse 6 is really important. And Abram believed the Lord, and God counted it to him as righteousness. What does that mean? I challenge you to find any other religion in the world and find a God who, because of what you believe when he speaks, you're declared righteous. It just doesn't happen. And part of the reason it's not going to happen is because every religion recognizes that we are sinful, and they cannot grasp in their mind how a person at the same time can be 100% sinner and 100% saint. See, mathematically, things don't work with God the way they work with us. Where else do you find three persons, one God? Where else do you find a person who is both divine and human? And where else do you find a woman who becomes pregnant without another man? I could go on for an hour. Because the only way a person can come to be a believer is to have faith in the promises of God. And that trumps all of our sin. That's correct. As Abraham learned more about Isaac to come, Isaac was going to be from his seed, would come the Messiah. And Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. By the way, this verse is quoted by Paul in Romans to show that we are not saved by obedience to the law. We are saved through trust in a promise. Hebrews 11 is one of the most interesting chapters because it recounts those who have faith. And, for example, Abel. Cain killed Abel. Why? Well, verse 4 tells us, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And so there's a lengthy number of individuals where Hebrews 11 makes the point about those in the faith are totally different than those outside the faith. In fact, every other religion is a religion. Christianity is the only faith because it alone has the correct understanding of God. No other religion can be considered faith, as does Christianity. Now, there's a little bit here about Abraham, and normally the epistle reading is an ongoing reading from week to week, but it just so happens that with Genesis 15 and Abraham being counted as righteous, that we find in verse 8 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. How many times have you felt that way? You may make a decision, or somebody makes a decision for you, and you're anxious about the future, how is this going to work out? By faith, which means what? He trusted that God is keeping his promises. Now, in Abraham's case, he had a specific promise from God. Where to go, what would happen. Do we? Not necessarily where to go, what would happen, but whenever we make a decision to do something, we're going to have God's promises tagging along with us. What do I mean by that? It doesn't matter what decision you make, as long as it's not sin, God promises to work it out to your good. If you feel anxious, you can call upon him in the day of trouble. He will deliver you. And along the way, temptations, guess what? Those temptations will be put away and you will find a way of escape. And I could go on for another 200 promises that are connected to our decisions. By faith, Abraham went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Well, that's Jerusalem. That's Zion. And in fact, we're not just referring to in Revelation, where the foundation is the teaching of the apostles and prophets and the bricks are all the saints. We also want to make clear that this new temple is also Jesus. Remember, he talks about that, you know, this temple could be destroyed, but 3 days later be rebuilt. And of course, they thought he was talking about the real temple, which is ridiculous. No, he was talking about his body. So that's what Abraham was looking forward to, that city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, when Sarah was told she was going to have a baby, she was 65. Abraham was 75. Guess what? The baby didn't come for 25 years. Sarah was 90. Abraham was 100. How did this happen? Verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, in regard to children, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Wow. You see, God is preparing for you a city. God is not ashamed to be called your God. This is verse 16. For he has prepared for them a city. And by the way, what person is it that prepares a city? None other than Jesus Christ himself. So that's Genesis 15, Hebrews 11, which leads us into the gospel reading from Luke 12. I tell you, Jesus says, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than clothing and food, and the body more than clothing. And then he makes a comparison. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And then he goes on and says something really interesting. Which of you can add a single hour to his span of life by being anxious? So Luke is writing what Jesus said. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Yeah, I just can't understand how people believe in evolution. I mean, just take a look at the flower. There are so many unique flowers. How did they come about through evolution? You know, it's what's called missing links. Because evolutionists think that you had a progression of links leading up to what we have today. But they can't find them. They can't even do it in a laboratory. They can't even do anything that will evolve into something distinctly different. So if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O you of little faith. And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Now I'm sure you're going to be thinking, hey, wait, I know Christians over in Saudi Arabia and other countries of the Near East who seek his kingdom, are part of the kingdom, and these things are not added to them. Remember what Paul said? If in this life only you have hope, you are most miserable. It may be that these things will not be added until you die. But when you die in the faith, you will enter into heaven, and all things will be perfect. So Jesus goes on in verse 32 of Luke 12, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, the next thing is interesting. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We had the pleasant opportunity to talk with Pastor Jorg Ackerman. He's got a number of young people with him. They had gone to the youth rally in the Missouri Synod, and they were now going through the International Center on a tour. And he was talking about how in Germany, with the influx of many, many immigrants fleeing from areas, oh yes, and there are those who are fleeing and getting into the country just to do damage to the country. But he was talking about one that he brought to faith in Jesus Christ and was baptized and has others in adult instruction. I know what a tremendous feeling that is. Yesterday at Trinity Orchard Farm, we confirmed the first adult that I took through confirmation. We've got four or five more being lined up to continue with adult confirmation. His name was Tanner, and he had such joy in being able to receive the true body and blood of Jesus Christ yesterday. The whole family was there. And we thank the Lord that he already was a Christian. His family had done a good job in telling him about Jesus. And therefore, it was a pretty simple class to teach. The only thing is, we would compare with what we Lutherans believe with what his former denomination taught. But we consider the people of his former denomination to be Christians. But it was a joyous opportunity for the congregation to welcome another individual into our midst. See, that's the purpose of Genesis 15, Hebrews 11, and Luke 12. To preach it in such a way to show that we often do not have the faith of Abraham. Especially as announced in Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, verse 6 is really interesting of Hebrews 11. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek him. But no unbeliever seeks the true God, because he's always seeking the God that's in his own image. Take a look at every religion in the world, and the God they worship is not the true God. It is instead a God of their own image, who thinks like they do. And therefore, salvation is by works. Why? Because in the world, that's how you go to the next grade. That's how you receive a higher position at work, a promotion. That's often how someone finally wants to marry you, because you work at it. And therefore, every God of every religion outside of Christianity, which is the only faith, insists that you obey. And therefore, your obedience is what brings you out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. Well, the problem is nobody can obey. Because what God demands is perfect obedience. Nobody does that. So God has another plan of salvation. First of all, he took care of what separates you from God, the curse of the law, that dividing wall of hostility. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Then what happens is that you desire to help out your neighbor. It's kind of a spontaneous thing. It's why many people do sell possessions to give to the needy. I was at a book fair recently, and it was getting near the end of the book fair, and the congregation had brought many books, and there were at least, 1,000 books left over that hadn't been sold. I said, "What do you do with them?" And they said, we give them to those who have a need for them at no cost. They would just share, maybe with nursing homes or other places. And it wasn't that they were charging a lot. Every hard cover was $1. A soft cover was 25 cents. Although one of the reasons I had gone there was to get a hot dog. But unfortunately, they weren't starting to make hot dogs until after I left. But that's all right. The church is here not only to give spiritual food, but also to help people in their physical needs. That's why in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, mercy is one of the big three. Mercy simply means obeying the second table of the law, where we are not only to love the Lord our God with all our mind, all our soul, all our heart, but also our neighbor as ourselves. And that's really what the church does. The primary goal of the church is, of course, getting the word out, bringing people to faith. But then, as James says, what good is it to greet somebody in church who's not having any clothing or very little food, and you don't do anything about it? No, we live in a world today where secularism, as we talked with Pastor Jorg Ackerman, is really taking over countries. And I'm kind of looking forward to the future, because Christianity always grows best during persecution. And it looks like that God is preparing us to experience that. What an opportunity we will have to share the message with those who have such a need to hear it. Not only in the United States, but throughout the world. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, I mentioned that many times you go to a high-rise building, there's no 13th floor. They skip. They go 12, 14. That's why when I get on an elevator, I always ask for 13. What's the worst number a hymn could have? 666. And that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow with Mark Smith. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.